Amen. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles, if you have them, to 1 Timothy 3, where we're working through this list of individual characteristics and qualities by which we are measuring godliness, the godly man. Our 12th characteristic is not quarrelsome. It says there in verse 3, the godly man is not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome. A good alternate translation would be not contentious. The King James Version uses the word brawler. One commentator used the word litigious, which means inclined to dispute or disagree. It's the word we use of folks who are quick to file lawsuits or litigation against others. And, you know, you sometimes watch in the news, they talk about us being a litigious society, because people are quick to litigate against each other. Gene Getz suggests that we are all on a quarrelsome continuum. I just wanted to say that. That's why. But I think it's true. On one end are those who hate contention, but nevertheless occasionally stir up an argument that was unnecessary. On the other end are those who love to say black when you say white. They believe they are the devil's advocate in every situation and play the part to the fullest. They are contrary and make things difficult for no apparent reason. They're a majority of one in every discussion. You know, they're just people like that who you can always count on them to take the opposite viewpoint no matter what's going on. Over the years, I've known a few too many quarrelsome folks. They tend to carry a chip on their shoulders. They always think they are being treated unfairly. They're quick to make accusations. They're the ones that file grievances at work over the really, truly petty issues. They write letters rather than talk to you face to face. You find in your inbox or your mailbox 25-page letters, rather than something that could have been resolved in a 3-minute face to face. I've often been asked to mediate in situations where believers disagree. The trouble is, you're never really being asked to mediate. Mediation is where two people who are calm and can't resolve their problems say, hey, Gene or Dave, you decide, and whatever you decide we'll go with. They're not really asking you to do that. They're asking you to render a verdict for one person against the other. And usually the situation has gotten so out of hand that the original issue has been overwhelmed by a lot of personal insult and innuendo. And so, mediation is a good thing, except that as soon as it goes against you, you continue to quarrel. There was a church over in Lemoore that was having an internal dispute, and they went to court over it. The judge recommended they go to mediation. They agreed to mediation, and once the mediator decided, then the party that lost or went back to court and sued all over again. And so, it's people are just quarrelsome in that way. As a pastor, I most often encounter the doctrinally quarrelsome. There's other, ways to quarrel, but that's kind of our territory. They hold tenaciously to some position that is a non-essential position, or they suddenly adopt a position that is different from the folks that they have been in fellowship with. About 10 years ago or so, the Reformed doctrines of predestination sort of swept through Calvary chapels, and they were down at the Calvary Chapel Bible College. There were some guys down there teaching that. Suddenly there were men and women, including some pastors and teachers, who tenaciously believed in Calvin's tulip and became a huge, quarrelsome mess. Locally, there was a church, one of our Calvaries, where the leadership decided to embrace Reformation theology. It more than split the church. They pretty much lost all of their members for a time as they went in that direction. Here in Hanford, we had a few folks who were influenced and tried to influence others. One brother who had been a strong evangelist or sharing his faith with everybody that he ran into turned all of his attention on converting Christians to Calvinism. Another wanted to start using Reform materials at our youth study. And so it was just kind of crazy, and people, it was an intellectual thing where people thought, hey, we finally, found the truth and we want to share it with everybody. It affected home life as well. In one case, a husband who had converted to Calvinism called me to ask if his wife had to believe what he believed, since he was the head of the home. Of course, she didn't want anything to do with the teaching that Jesus died only for a pre-selected few people. And so it created quite a consternation there. They ended up divorced. It wasn't over that, but it had a lot to do with that spirit, that contentious spirit that, you know, I'm going to force this on you, and I'm going to try and get you to believe what I believe, or, you know, one way or the other, you're going to go in my direction, kind of a thing. So it's kind of sad. Beneath all this was this quarrelsome attitude. And I know when I would talk to people about these doctrines, we were perfectly content to coexist with people and say, hey, you know, you can believe that. That's fine. You know, God bless you. You know, oh, no, you have to believe it. You know, this is the truth. You know, this is the way it is and stuff. And so it's sad. Contention itself isn't always the result of someone being quarrelsome. Perhaps the most famous contention in the New Testament is that between Paul and Barnabas. I'll read it to you from Acts 15. You're all pretty familiar with the situation. It says, then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. The contention became so sharp that they parted from one another, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. I'm with Paul on this one, but I do see Barnabas' point of view. This isn't really a case of either man being quarrelsome. Sometimes you really can't just get along. There's an issue. And Barnabas said, hey, we're taking John Mark. He needs another chance. He flaked out on the first trip. And the way to encourage somebody who's flaked out is to give him another chance. I mean, you know, you need to make a strong argument for that. Paul, who is busy being imprisoned and shipwrecked and beaten and things like that, thought, I'd kind of like to have somebody along I don't have to babysit. This isn't really a discipling moment in my life, so I'm not bringing that kid, you know, and so I can understand that. I've been on missions trips with, there was one mission trip we went on where the other guys, they actually wanted to send one of the guys home, you know, they couldn't take it anymore, and I promised I would babysit him, which cost me a trip to the Great Wall of China. But anyway, I went to China and didn't see the Great Wall, you know, saw the inside of my hotel, because in China he wouldn't come out of his room. It just was, you know, one of those things. Which, you know, that happens. I mean, you never know how you're going to react in certain situations, and China was pretty oppressive, he just wouldn't come out. And so I understand. So this isn't really being quarrelsome. I mean, sometimes it's like, hey, I'm sorry. I'm just not going to do that. It's not a biblical issue. It's not a doctrinal issue. No one really can decide what's right or wrong. What I love about reading in the book of Acts is the commentators who pick one guy or the other. Everybody always wants to criticize Paul. Have you ever read commentaries? They're quick to criticize the Apostle Paul, I guess because he was such a great man of God, and it makes you feel better to criticize others, you know. But whether it's the Barnabas incident or later when he's offering a sack, you know, in the temple, he shaves his hair and he's sponsoring these other guys. Paul is in sin. Paul is blowing it. Look what happened. He got arrested, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Man, leave Paul alone. I don't see any of these incidents as problems, you know, just how he was being led. But so there can be contention without quarreling. It's not being quarrelsome if you have to correct or rebuke someone. Paul had a famous episode in which he openly confronted Peter. Peter was avoiding the Gentile believers, withdrawing from them and hanging only with Judaizers. In Galatians it says, now when Peter came to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. And so Peter, who had been the one to receive this amazing knowledge that God had made everything clean, there was no real distinction, you know, between Jew and Gentile, if you wanted to follow the Jewish laws, you could, but you didn't have to. He felt pressure from these Judaizers to separate from the Gentile Christians, and it was creating a division in the church between Jews and Gentiles over Jesus Christ. And Paul said, I'm just going to rebuke him publicly. You know, if you want to sit over there with the Jews and not eat a pig with me, you know, then I'm going to rebuke you, you know. And so he did. So this is, again, not being quarrelsome. This is a clear, essential issue over which there could be no real quarrel. Now, in everyday church life, we need to be careful both in correcting others and in receiving correction. I've seen folks correct others when it's not really warranted. We need to humble ourselves and not disguise our quarrelsome attitude by acting as if it's spiritual and helpful. Sometimes we disguise quarreling with, you know, hey, I need to correct you because you're wrong. Most people don't receive correction, even when it's warranted. All of us need to be more open to God using others to bring correction into our lives without becoming quarrelsome and creating a problem. Obviously, a maturing man will try to maintain unity. He will prefer and pursue peace with everyone else. Compromise is not a dirty word. It doesn't always mean that you've sold out or somehow lost ground. In fact, if that's how you approach relationships and issues, it might be a sign that you are more quarrelsome than you think. So if you're always thinking that I don't want to lose ground, I can't give this up, I don't want to be taken advantage of, then you have kind of a quarrelsome spirit about you. We should have a desire to meet together and figure out how to work together and get things done for the Lord. You know, everything isn't a me versus you kind of a thing. There's a famous quote ascribed to Augustine that applies. It says, in essentials, unity, in non-essentials, liberty, in all things, love. And so, you know, we want to start from that as a basis in terms of, hey, really, we want to get along, we want to maintain the unity that the Holy Spirit gives us. And when there's disunity, disharmony, how can we fix that? And if there's an issue, let's just go separate ways in one sense. You know, you want to bring John Mark? Go to Cyprus. There's plenty of work in Cyprus. I'm not taking him. I'm going to take Silas and go in this other direction. So now we've multiplied the work of the Lord. Why argue about it? Why try to figure out who was right? There isn't a right or a wrong. It's a personal decision. Maybe a good application for us would be to evaluate not if you are quarrelsome, but when. What issues or topics will you absolutely not give ground on? The things that get you quarreling. And then try and determine, are those essential and important things? Are they really the essentials of life? You know, and some of them are. I mean, there are things, obviously, we have a certain ethics and morals and doctrines that we can't compromise over. They're just true. They're just right. But I think a lot of times we, you know, end up arguing with others over things that don't essentially matter. They're just opinions. And some of those arguments get pretty heated. Gino and I, not too long ago on a Wednesday night, were in what turned into almost an argument over an opinion we have on Psalm 22 and how it should be interpreted, you know. And I think the other individuals thought that we were saying some kind of heresy or something, you know. And it was like, wow, you know, let's just, hey, how about those Lakers, you know, kind of a thing. I mean, it's funny sometimes some people, and whether it's yourself or other people, it's easier with others. I mean, you know, some people who you've seen just go, man, just like that. They're in your face. And other people who are like that all the time. You know, if it's not an essential issue, if it's not important, let it go and pursue peace and maintain unity. There's no real value to argument for argument's sake, and certainly for being a quarrelsome person. And so the man of God, the godly man, he has enough confidence in his relationship with the Lord and what the Lord is teaching him to allow for other points of view when the issue can't be resolved, when the issue is non-essential. He looks at a situation and he says, well, okay, this is my opinion, but you decide. I remember one time down at Calvary San Bernardino, for years we had a summer concert series where in July, every Saturday in July, we'd have an outdoor concert at the amphitheater there at Paris Hill Park. And one year we were in really serious financial trouble because of the building project. And so, July rolled around and, you know, are we going to have the concerts or not? You know, and so two of us who were right, I still believe, said no. I mean, it's foolish. You know, it's just, I mean, faith aside, believing God aside and all that, it's just foolish to have these concerts. Two of the other elders, there's four of us, and two of the other elders have to have it, got to do it. You know, I mean, we can't cut ministry just to, you know, just because we're bankrupt and that kind of thing. And they were, you know, and so finally, after we had talked about it for a while, I remember looking at John, our pastor, and I said, well, you're going to have to decide. You've heard everything, and whatever you decide, we'll do. And so John, I don't know what the Lord put on his heart. He says, well, we'll have two instead of four. You know, he's kind of cut the baby in half kind of a thing, you know. And we thought, okay. You know, I was still against it, but we got into it. We did them. They were successful. The other guys were still thinking we should do four. But, I mean, it wasn't the end of the world, you know. I mean, and life went on. And I think there needs to be more of that kind of thing where you do kind of go to mediation in the sense that, well, who's really in charge here? Who could have the final say on this? I mean, I feel strongly about this, but what do you think? And it's kind of in your court. You're the head of this ministry. You're the person that is responsible for this. Why, you've heard everything they have to say. Just do it. Business owners do this all the time. You know, in the military. You can't tell me that you always agree with the orders of your commanding officer or even your commander in chief for that matter, you know, and stuff. And so, and yet, you know, you've signed on for that. And so the whole idea is to just, hey, God has given us fellowship. He gives us unity. It's up to us to maintain that unity. Those of us that are quarrelsome are fighting against that. And it's not the quality of a godly man. Some of us are more given to quarrels than others, but all of us do it sometimes. And when we do it, we should identify it not as something spiritual where we're trying to, you know, really save the day, but as something that's unspiritual, non-spiritual, something that is hindering the work of God, and be those kinds of men who bring peace to a situation. Amen.